the final segment with the legendary Victor Boot here on the Alex Jones Show on this Wednesday, August 21st, 2024 transmission. We're about to go to his section from June 3rd.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news today.
Very soon, they're going to even limit access population of United States, of the West, including Europe, to even a telegraph. Why? Because it's too free. They can't control it. If they can't control it, they're going to ban it. Second point, they're going to try to really attempt on the life of the Trump. And they said, oh, sorry, you know, we killed him. Whoever come afterwards would be not even maybe strong enough or maybe stupid enough to understand what's really going on. And we can finally, after a couple months of negotiation, reattach string to this and make our that replacement of the Trump, good new puppet, because everybody has their families, they have their interests, they have their kids. Who knows? Maybe they're going to get hostages of Trump family and put him to negotiate them. So in this level, I guess all American people have to do their maximum to really show to the global. If you mess up with this, it would be, our strong response. Look, if people go to the street in America, the real America, who they are, it's over. It's 2 days and it's over. Forget about January 6th. It was a joke.
I was about to say, we got set up. He was supposed to speak in the Capitol. They set us up. If we were really trying to take over, we would have. They know that. All right, so that is from the interview June 3rd. We're going to repost this to X. We're live right now. Victor Boot, you nailed it. So 3 minutes left. Any other warnings or predictions?
Well, unfortunately, now it's very bumpy road ahead for America. And we're looking. Look, Alex, you've been predicting for the past 10 years about the economical meltdown, what global is going to pull up their last, trick. Look how the prices for the gold and the silver skyrocketing. The next step, it would be meltdown of the stock exchange. And then what? A shortage of the food, shortage of the medicine, all the stuff, because they're going to try to quell up the population, distract them from the political issues. But they just, if you are hungry, you're going to look how you're going to feed up your family, put food on the table. This would be an issue. And these people going to play all possible tricks, including Ukraine till the election, trying to show them some results, trying to convince them, yes, we need to spend money helping Ukraine to fight Russia into win to protect liberty. What kind of liberty they're talking about? Liberty for the all kind of the satanic cults? And this where the entire population of the world now realize we are facing a extreme danger in these satanic globalist elites who are trying to control the world. And this is a most hot period in this battle for the future of the humanity. So it's by determination of American people who did it as they did during the Revolutionary Wars, as they did it during the Civil War, to pull through, to determine the right from the wrong, and to see by their own eyes where the real and the proper way to exist in this planet in harmony, peace, and prosperity.
Victor Boot, I really appreciate you coming on. I really don't see you do any interviews, and I know you're a regional leader, governor. You do local interviews, but we've searched for interviews with you. We're very honored that you come on this show. Why do you come on this show?
Well, Alex, I have a lot of respect to you because for all this year, when nobody believed, and they've been dubbed you as a conspiracy, kink, and all your show was always causing irritation to the globalists. But you've been always talking the truth to American people. You've been raising the issue, whether it's a poisoning of the food, whether it's an attempt to vaccinate the people. And you're always exposing them and leading them. So I guess that you are that voice of resistance who are helping American people to understand they're not alone.
Well, Victor, we're out of time, and I hope we can speak again and not die in nuclear war. God bless you and your family and the Russians and Americans, everybody else. Victor Boot, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Hello. it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half of my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years. And the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, we just had Victor Boot on, who's been a listener for 12 years. And he says he wants to come on and co-host with us anytime, so definitely be here. Because I find nothing untrue the man says. He comes off with a lot of credibility, and no wonder the CIA and British intelligence hates his guts. But we're trying to stop nuclear war together. Now, Daniel Estulin is another amazing brain, and he's the preeminent expert on the globalist and on the Bilderberg Group and the New World Order. And he usually gets on early. We're having a little bit of an issue connecting with him, but he should be joining us any minute now. But it's good that we have this little hangover into the next hour, because I need funds to fight this war. And all we deliver is victory thanks to your support and prayers. But I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. I need you to go to DrJonesNaturals.com. Those are our sponsors. Those are the great products. We had great sponsors over the years. Most of them got harassed and terrorized not being sponsors. So starting about 15 years ago, I started direct selling high-quality water filters, air filters, storable foods, books, films. I've always been selling my films and T-shirts, but we've been having to self-fund with you supporting us. So thank you. All this you see, all the success, all the amazing stories we bring is because of your support. Thank you. And I want to encourage those who have been supporting to keep supporting and thank them. And I want to encourage those specifically that have not been supporting. Hey, these are great products you need anyways, and it supports the broadcast. If you don't stand up now in the fight, I don't know what to say. I mean, you listen, you know this is going on, but you don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. You don't go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That doesn't sound like the smartest move. I'm not mad at you. I just ask you to consider to take action. These are great products. InfoWarsStore.com, DrJonesNaturals.com. Just start with DrJonesNaturals.com, the Nano Silver Toothpaste. Just start with Next Level Foundational Energy. Just start with that. Start with the X2 or X3 at InfoWarsStore.com. Or the InfoWars MD line of turmeric and more, and CBD gummies and more. All right, Daniel Estulin, best-selling author, incredible researcher, takes over now. We'll have live coverage tonight of the third night of the DNC as well, with live coverage at InfoWars.com/show, band.video, and Relox Jones on X. Daniel Estulin takes over. Daniel, good to have you. He's just now getting connected. He may be having some issues. Daniel, yeah. Daniel, good Hello. To have you here. The show is yours.
How are you, Alex? Thanks so much for joining us.
Good. God bless.
I'm very honored to actually be hosting the Alex Jones episode of the InfoWars. I was wondering what to talk about today, because, again, I'm hosting for an hour. I thought we could talk about the United States, but then I thought to myself, there's a lot of people out there who talk about the United States and America. So I thought of bringing international perspective. Now, one of the things that is kind of goes under the radar is Turkey. I don't know if you've noticed the Maduro, the Venezuelan dictator, they always talk about, you know, hiding their money in Turkey. And if something goes down wrong, if they lose power, they're going to hide in Turkey. Now, there's a reason why Turkey is such an important transit point for so many dictators and drug traffickers, et cetera, et cetera. And this is what I want to talk about today. Exactly and specifically how Turkey became the destination of choice for Latin American drug cartels. I've explained it many times in the past, the drugs are the lubricant of the world economy. It moves about $950 billion a year in cash. Just think about that number, 950 billion, actually I think it's more, okay, but at least $950 billion in cash. And so Turkey has become a new transit point for cocaine trafficking and Latin American traffickers. And this is demonstrated by the statements of experts and data on large quantities of drugs smuggled into the country. And so some experts believe that there are several logical explanations for this. Number one, the replacement of a large number of competent police officers in the country after the purge that began back in 2013 and continued after the failed coup d'etat in 2016. The war in Syria and the unstable situation in Iraq, geographical position of Turkey. And so Europe is Turkey's main consumer of hard drugs. For example, last year, the Turkish authorities carried out a large-scale operation, which is a part of a fight against drug trafficking in Europe, which involved investigators from 9 countries. The Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, Italy, Chile, Ecuador, Brazil. And as a result, $100 million in cash was seized, and 73 people involved in drug trafficking were arrested. Now, it may sound like a lot of people, actually, it's not. Okay, it's a drop in the bucket. And investigators were able to trace the illegal activities which originated in Latin America and spread from Turkey to Europe. And then in August 2023, the Turkish television channel TV24, they announced a record cocaine seizure in the Turkish port of Kocaeli. And so local authorities arrested a ship from Brazil. And as a result of a search, they found a cargo container with 540 kilograms of cocaine. And then in another shipment, they seized another 228 kilos of cocaine from Colombia in the port of Ambarli in Istanbul. And so the reality is that the Republic of Turkey after 2013, in other words, after an unprecedented corruption scandal that resulted in imprisonment for 733 high-ranking government officials, governors, mayors, police officers, members of the armed forces, it became a new transshipment point for illicit cocaine trafficking from Latin America. A lot is actually going on as far as the drug routes are concerned. Everyone thinks that the drugs go from Colombia up the coast to the United States. It's not. It's one of the many routes out there. The gangsters are always looking for ways to make money, and obviously the shorter the drug route, the more money you can make. And then on June 8th, 2020, the Colombian Anti-Drug Administration, they seized almost five tons of cocaine, which was supposed to be going to in two containers by sea from the Colombia port of Benaventura to Turkey. Carlos Olmes Trujillo, he was the late Colombian Minister of Defense, issued a statement from the General Luis Ramirez, who was the head of the Colombian Police Narcotics Office, who said that during a cargo control in a port of Buenaventura, the authorities found cocaine in two containers that were mixed with synthetic rubber pollen and packed in 1,733 bags weighing 30 kilograms each. And so preliminary investigation showed that the drug war intended to be transported from the Pacific coast of Colombia to Central America and then to Turkey. And what is absolutely clear, Turkey is the new global drug transit country. And the fact that the Colombian Ministry of Defense has publicly designated Turkey as the destination of choice for the seized drugs is in itself very, very important. This country has never before been called a transit point or destination for cocaine. Meanwhile, according to the Defense Ministry, it was the largest maritime shipment of the seized substance in almost a year. Talking about 5 tons of cocaine, that's an incredibly large quantity for Turkey as a destination or transit country. As a kind of a point of comparison, the largest previous volume of drugs seized never exceeded a few hundred kilograms. And so drugs are distributed in various ways and means under the protection of the criminal organizations, with cocaine mainly coming from Latin American countries, Bolivia, Peru, and also Colombia, its main producers. Now, if you look at the statistics from the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, they show that the cocaine tends to be shipped to Europe by sea or by air, often via the United States or Africa. And that said, it has, I think, to be obvious that without a market ready for distribution and consumption, without all the necessary connections, both internal and external, no drug trafficker in their right mind would attempt to import such an incredible, mind-boggling quantity of drugs into any countries, in this case, Turkey. And obviously, such transit is impossible without protection. And something has caused a change in the way that the system has operated until now. Or perhaps there is, I guess you could say, a strong new player who wants a piece of the global drug action. And so the global systemic collapse upon us and this mind-boggling profits from the global drug business, I think, again, what we're seeing right now should be expected. I want to remind you that Bill Clinton, when he became president of the United States, the first phone call, usually the president of the United States immediately calls the prime minister of Canada. That's been the case for many, many decades. But in 1993, when Clinton became president of the United States, his first call went to Colombia, to the president of Colombia, and his request was somewhat unusual. The idea was to get Carlos Legder out of prison. That's part of the Medellin cartel, Pablo Escobar. Now, the idea is that Carlos Legder, who was the best at the time at reorganizing drug routes, and so the best drug route is Colombia, Venezuela, the Hispaniola island, that's Haiti and Dominican Republic, and from there to New York. And so today, if you look at the structure, DEA and also FBI, they're of the opinion that the new player scheme should have strong political connection and protection at the highest levels of power in Turkey. Just think about that. So you have a government-run, state-run drug operation with tons of cocaine being shipped through Turkey to other parts of the world. Now, Turkish Interior Ministry, his name is Süleyman Soylu, he's the country's top security bureaucrat, is in fact suspected of being a Turkish top drug trafficker, organizing drug trafficking in cooperation with various gangster groups, using state officials as his henchmen and messengers. These are not your typical conspiracy theories. The accusations were made by a prestigious exiled Turkish journalist by the name of Said Sefa. And his findings, in fact, were based on statements he obtained from court documents that he posted on his social media. And according to Sefa, the Interior Minister acts in concert with criminal organizations known as the Hakkari Group to direct, to control, and to dominate the national drug trafficking networks from the entry of the legal substances into the country, through the eastern border, to their shipment to Western Europe. And so in this network of drug trafficking, smuggling, organized crime entanglements, I'm going to give you a name. His name is Mehmet Kemal Agar. He's a nationalist politician, former minister, participant at one of the Bilderberger Group meetings. And he's believed to be a key figure advising Soylu on illegal schemes. For example, Agar helped facilitate a massive purge of the police officers in the police department beginning in 2014 to clear the way for Erdogan's clandestine business activities, hampered at times. Because he had good, honest representatives of Turkish police forces that would, intercede, that would arrest, that would expose the secret and illegal operations by Erdogan's closest allies. So again, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone when you hear that Maduro, Venezuelan dictator, who just lost or stole the elections in Venezuela on the 28th of July, and his henchmen, Jorge Andrade Rodriguez, the Minister of Defense, Padrino Lopez, and others, basically made a lot of money, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, in stolen profits from Venezuela Needless to say, they want to hide their money in Turkey. And obviously, drugs are also part of the action. And so I repeat that most of the leadership, if you're talking about Turkey, the police department, you know, the former police officers, the departments were decimated by the Erdogan government, which, again, recruited individuals like Agar as a strongman to reshape the national police, which is the main law enforcement agency in Turkey, with almost 30,000, no, actually, I'm wrong, 300,000 officers as its command. And Agar, what he did, he's brought nationalists as well as these shady individuals with close ties to the mafia into the leadership of the Directorate General for Security, which is the National Police Department. And Agar and his team are untouchables because they're under the protection of the Interior Ministry Soylu. And needless to say, all of this is done with close cooperation with Erdogan, the president of the country. So now the question is, what has changed and why? After the purge of law enforcement officers beginning in 2014, Turkey lost many competent specialists and significantly reduced its ability to intercept, for example, drug trafficking, opening the way for corrupt bureaucrats. Again, drugs is a very lucrative business. $950 billion in cash. That's what it moves globally. And so under the pretext of investigations or investigating possible conspiracies against the government, the Erdogan administration has carried out a series of firings, imprisoned thousands of people since 2013. Who are these people? Are these criminals? No, they're not. Prosecutors, judges, policemen. And these people are involved in the investigation of corruption cases, fight against radical groups, drug traffickers. And so the country is run by a drug trafficker, and you're trafficking billions of dollars worth of cocaine. You can't have honest prosecutors, judges, policemen. You got to put them away, kill them, send them to prison. And then after the 2016 coup d'etat attempt, which failed, the cooperation scheme with the United States Drug Enforcement Agency, DNA, also suffered a serious setback, especially since some of the DEA officials were directly involved in the coup against Erdogan. For example, the Turkish authorities arrested and imprisoned an individual by the name of Metin Topuz. He's a Turkish citizen and also the employee of the U.S. Consulate General in Istanbul, who also happened to work for the DEA. So, what do the numbers say? It's worth noting that there's no information in open sources and studies from closed sources that demonstrate the collusion of the Turkish authorities with drug traffickers. Again, these are closed studies. And if you look at the figures provided by the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction, it's an acronym EMCCDA, as well as a lot of other information, official statements, public statements from Turkey, is at the forefront against drug trafficking and its distribution in the country. Now, that's what they say. According to EMCCDA, in 2015, Turkish agents seized 12 tons of heroin, which is the largest amount of illegally circulating drugs, making Turkey the leading country in terms of the amount of heroin seized. And again, evidence that Turkey is a popular route for smuggling hard drugs into Europe is also confirmed by a 2020 global report issued by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. So a report based on 2018 data says that Turkey is part of the world's largest, I repeat, largest heroin trafficking route. Again, it's called the Balkan Route. And it transports drugs from Turkey to Western and Central Europe, but I'll tell you about that a little bit later. And so according to the report, 95% of heroin and morphine seized in Eastern Europe and Southeastern Europe, it came from Turkey. In 2018, if I'm not mistaken, 0.7 tons of opium, 0.4 tons of morphine, 19 tons of heroin were seized in the country. It also accounts for almost 10% of all opium seized in the world. And so it's no wonder that the international drug cartels have chosen Turkey as the logistics hub for drug trafficking. The main reason is the country's convenient, again, geographic location. Have a look at the map. You have a large number of seaports, instability in neighboring Syria and Iraq, incessant flows of refugees. And so as a result, established routes and networks of smuggling goods and people from Turkey to Europe appears over the years. And although Ankara, the Turkish capital, conducts its own joint international investigations and also tries to combat, so to speak, drug trafficking, in no way does this or has this reduced the flow of drugs. And this is perhaps why Turkey is now seizing more substance from illicit drugs turnover than 7 years ago. And so this raises a very logical question. How many tons of drugs were not intercepted by security forces? You can say you're fighting drugs. Look, we've seized so many tons or so many kilos of drugs, 225, 300, 400 kilograms. But how many tons of drugs were not intercepted by security forces? On purpose, obviously. Because after all, it's clear that open and accessible information is only the tip of the iceberg. And one can only guess at the true scale of trafficking of banned substances. What is absolutely certain is this. The volume of illegal drug trafficking in Europe is estimated by the United Nations at $30 billion a year. Of course, Turkey is not the only country through which prohibited goods are transported to Europe, but the fact is that this is the most convenient, again, have a look at the map, an attractive and a place, route for such purposes, is, again, it's beyond doubt. Again, this isn't something new. Drugs, or the drug routes, I should say, through the Balkans. We can talk about the 1980s and the 1990s. In 1994, Christian Science Monitor reported that disrupted by the Yugoslav conflict, drug trafficking across the Balkans is making a comeback as Albanian mafia carves out a new smuggling route to Western Europe, bypassing the peninsula's war zones. And so a great deal of revenue is thought to derive from the Albanian narco-terrorism, as well as associated gun-running, cross-border smuggling, Albania, Bulgaria, Kosovo, which is a province of Serbia. One of the main reasons for the war in Yugoslavia, remember that? It had nothing to do with democracy, human rights, Milosevic. It had to do with the fact that the shortest route to European markets was through Kosovo. So, okay, let's follow the train of thought. We have a break coming up in less than a minute. Okay, previously transported to Western Europe through former Yugoslavia, you had heroin from Turkey, the Transcaucasus, and points further east is now being increasingly routed to Italy via the Black Sea, Albania, Bulgaria, Macedonia. And this is a development that has strengthened the Albanian mafia, which is now thought to control 70% of the illegal heroin markets in Germany and Switzerland. Now think about that. Again, if you listen to Interpol, they define this in the following way. We're going to go to a break. If left unchecked, this growing Albanian narco-terrorism could lead to a Colombian syndrome in the southern Balkans, which is exactly what the global elite want. They want conflict in Europe. They want to destroy Europe. They need a war. They have a $4 quadrillion debt. How do you get rid of this?
To tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up, and it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts, and we found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names, they get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know, we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you. And we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product. And then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup. And I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out, again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we're even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkowicz has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago, and I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy, it attempts to shut us down, and the bad CRO we had here before, who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got over 100 products, and as we speak, we're making labels for the rest of their line. But 17 of their products that are their best sellers, the top of their catalog, we do have at InfoWarsStore.com from InfoWars MD. So, I've told you some of the history, what's behind it. It's amazing. It's super high quality. Here's just a few of the things that are available. Nitric Boost, Good Night Sleep, Joint Relief Max is amazing, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Probiotic Formula, CBD Full Spectrum, 25 milligram gummies, CBD Full Spectrum, 10 milligram gummies, works great, Turmeric 95, Libido RX, Better Mood, Mushroom Max for mental clarity and your immune system, Superfood Greens, Ageless Vitality Collagen, and a lot more. So if you want to keep InfoWars on the air, at the same time get amazing products, please visit InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line of products. There's a bunch of others I didn't mention. We're adding more every few days. So please take action and go to InfoWarsStore.com and secure your InfoWars MD today.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
We're live. Alex Jones Show. I'm Danny Austin, hosting for Alex Jones. Thanks so much for joining us. We've talked about the Turkey and the drug routes and the role that Turkey is playing in the political, economic, social, financial situation, not only in Europe, but also in the United States. Not a lot of stuff is being said about Turkey. It's kind of, again, nobody's talking about this. And one of the things about being an American is like everything else is pretty far away. If you live in New York, New York is a universe, not even a city. It's not even a country. It's a universe. You live in New York, you're totally oblivious to what's going on anywhere else. China, Russia, it's like the moon. But for those of us who live in other countries, whether it's Mexico, whether it's Canada, whether it's Spain, whether it's Southeast Asia, you kind of look at the whole thing, at the entire world. You take things from a different perspective. And again, it's very important to understand that American policies are absolutely affected by what's going on in Turkey. And so I think it would be wise to understand Turkish, historically, I'd say, vital importance to America's and also the West's geopolitical interests. In fact, Turkish relationship to opium and to the United States, this isn't new. It goes back to the 19th century. In 1803, if I'm not mistaken, William Stewart, the first U.S. consul in Smyrna, which is a port in Turkey, he filed a report on the trade in that port. And he noted that, and I quote, our trade with the East and the West Indies and also South America will always afford us the means of supplying Turkey with opium, the principal articles of its consumption. And Stewart reported that Turkey was an important source of drugs and also of opium. Again, we're talking about over 200 years ago. That was 1803. By 1820s, or by the 1820s, Americans were shipping hundreds in the plural of chests of Turkish opium to Southeast Asia, to China. So guess who was making the money? And then a November 2016 report by the Paris Bay Geopolitical Observatory on drugs. And according to this report, the amount of drugs originating from Afghanistan was worth nearly $40 billion in the final stage. Let me put this number in perspective. That's $40 billion of heroin on the street, whether it's on the streets of Philadelphia, New York, Washington, Los Angeles, Miami, it doesn't matter. And that's more than Afghanistan's gross domestic product, which is only $35 billion. Think of what $40 billion does to destroying families, cities, and lives of people. So you're going to tell me that the Democratic or the Republican congressmen and senators and lawmakers, they don't know this? Of course they do. The idea is to destroy the country. Because if you can destroy the country, if you can separate the United States, as they did with the Soviet Union, as they did with the Yugoslavia, and they've done with other countries, they want to do the same thing to the United States. The idea is to destroy the country. I'm not talking so much about Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. I'm talking about the elite, the global liberal banking financiers, because the only way they can save their model, their parasitical model based on infinite growth, is to destroy the United States and live at the expense of, because they're parasites. Again, understand, we're talking about $40 billion worth of hard drugs on the street. And so, according to the United States State Department's most recent annual International Narcotics Control Strategy Report, you can go online and see it for yourselves. A lot of this stuff is free. You don't have to pay for it. Go to the United States State Department, go to their site, click on all these reports. All that stuff is there, just a question of actually going and clicking and reading. International Narcotics Control Strategy Report. Turkish position astride the main overland trade route between Asia and Europe, that's according to the U.S. State Department, makes it a significant transit point for narcotics. And so the country serves as a kind of a land bridge for how much? How about 60 tons a year of drugs? That's 3/4 of the world's heroin transported for use in Western Europe, which is a primary victim of the drug war. Where does it come from? It comes from Afghanistan. Is the United States interested in destroying Western Europe? Absolutely, because it's the main competitor. When talking about technology, it's not Russia, it's not China, it's not Saudi Arabia, it's Western Europe. And so the idea of the United States working together with Turkey to destroy Western Europe. Now, you're not going to read about this in Wall Street Journal, but that's the case. And so the key component in Turkey's part of this global drug trade, again, is its geography. Now, Turkey is one of the closest American allies, as well as one of the key members of the NATO alliance. It's actually the second strongest army within the NATO alliance after the United States. And it occupies a unique place amongst the modern nation states because, again, it lies, if you look at the geography, at the crossroads, not only between Europe and Asia, but also between the former Soviet Union and the Middle East. And it's also the only Middle Eastern nation that counted Israel as a close ally and corroborator. Now, you can say that, you know, Erdogan is, you know, he's criticizing Netanyahu. That's not the case. They're allies. They've always been allies. Now, again, if we go back to what I said before the break, to the Balkan route, If you look at the way drugs are moved globally, again, all this information is available. You can go to the DEA, drug enforcement agencies, their reports. It's all there. Educate yourself. That's what Alex Jones does. He helps you to understand. We need you to be educated. We need you to understand. Because we need the numbers to fight these people. And so if you look at the Balkan route, it's divided into three sub-routes. But Turkey is always the key player in all of these routes. So you have the southern route, for example, which runs through Turkey, Greece, Albania, and Italy. You have the central route, and that goes again through Turkey, Bulgaria, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia and Serbia, Montenegro, Croatia, Slovenia, Bosnia. You have Italy and Austria. And then you have the northern route, which goes, again, Turkey, Bulgaria, Romania, to Austria, to Hungary, Czech Republic, Poland, and Germany. And if you look at the statistics, heroin trafficking in Turkey produces $48 billion worth of business. Are you going to tell me that Erdogan is going to say no to this kind of... You can't do that. You can't do that. It's one of the reasons you cannot eliminate or eradicate the drug trade. You can talk about the war on drugs. Was the United States successful in their war on drugs? No, right? Because if you think you can eliminate $950 billion in cash and replace it with something else, the entire global economy, that's not an exaggeration, the entire global economy will collapse onto itself before we finish the show. And so needless to say, the Turkish government is very much in on the action, just like the American government is very much in on the action. And again, we're talking about billions of dollars. And much of this money, again, it passed through OPEC accounts of some of the world's most criminal banks. Now, how many times have we seen in the media, they talk about Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation, HSBC. That's the Rothschild Bank. I think we were caught and they had to pay a fine of $2 billion, if I'm not mistaken. It's part of doing business, no big deal. What did HSBC involved in 200 years ago? The same thing they're doing right now. Opium in China. Coutts Bank, that's Queen of England's when she was alive. That was her private bank. They were caught laundering $7 million. It's not a lot of money, but that's not the point. How about Wachovia back in 2007? Wachovia today is Wells Fargo. They were caught laundering $368 billion, if I'm not mistaken. $368 billion of the Mexican cartel's money. And the president of the bank, when he was caught, came out and said, I don't know what happened. And of course, we believed him. Because when I go to the bank with $10,000 in cash, I need to fill out, I don't know how many hundreds of pieces of paper to explain where did I get the money from. But when you launder $368 billion, you got a slap on the wrist. You can't take that money out of circulation because the entire global economy will collapse onto itself. Remember way back when you had the BCCI bank? So they laundered most of that money initially through them. And so Turkey, again, is playing a leading role in going after this multi-billion dollar drug network responsible for trafficking heroin from Afghanistan. And in the process, Turkey also serves as a kind of a key flank against the empire builders' new opium wars. And so, according to knowledgeable military sources, the Kurdistan Workers' Party, financially supported by the European oligarchs, well, they've been linked to a massive conspiracy to overthrow Erdogan government in Turkey. And so you have a nation state like Turkey, which is the only constitutionally secular nation in the Islamic world, may in fact prove to be a bulwark against both radical Islam on the one hand and also global rule by financier oligarchy on the other. But again, if you historically speaking, Turkey occupies a unique position as far as this global deep state is concerned. And their purpose is to perpetuate the secret Sykes-Picot Agreement, which was drafted back in 1916 by the soon-to-be victors of World War I, which was France on the one hand and the British Empire on the other. And so they divided up the Ottoman Empire between them and the kind of spoils of war, with Britain controlling Iraq and Jordan and Palestine, and France ruling Syria and Lebanon. And their aim, going back to 1916, has been to prevent at all costs the economic development of a region that is both at the crossroads of Europe and Asia, and also of Eurasia and Africa. So again, Turkey is very important, and geography plays a very important role in any conflict. And so their intent is, again, to maintain it as a kind of a trigger for global war by manipulating. You have ethnic, you have religious, you have tribal groups. And you keep manipulating them one against the other. And them against the central government. They do the same thing. Same modus operandi. I asked a friend of mine, although I haven't seen him for a while, he works for the CIA. And I said to him, why do you guys always do the same thing all the time? He said, because it works and it's cheap. Why change? Absolutely true. It works. So you do the same thing. You manipulate all the groups one against the other. You do the same thing in Africa. You do the same thing in Southeast Asia. You do the same thing in the Middle East. You do the same thing in Latin America. Because what the deep state is after is a modern form of feudal anarchy. And this feudal anarchy, this clanism, I guess you could call it, is a way of understanding life that goes beyond the concepts of nation states, of governments, of law and order. And as an example of what I'm talking about, this clanism, this feudal anarchy, we could look at Lebanon's Bekaa Valley, which is a very fertile area, you know, again, ideally suited to what? To growing opium. There's a guy by the name of Rifat Assad, the uncle of Syrian President Bashar Assad. Do you think these people are not in on the action? Of course they're all in on the action. It's one of the privileges of being a president of a country. You could steal. Some steal more, some steal less. Some steal everything, such as the case of Maduro government in Venezuela, which is why the country is so poor. An average salary in Venezuela is about $3 a month. They made $2 trillion they sold between 1998 and 2024. Venezuela sold $2 trillion in oil. Where's the money? It's all gone. They stole it. In any case, Rifat Assad is the uncle of Syrian President Bashar Assad and is widely known to have been in charge of Syria's narcotics enterprise. And he was the honcho, the supremo of the Bekaa Valley massive opium industry. You don't think the CIA knew? Of course they do, because Rifat was, in fact, a CIA asset. And he was being groomed to succeed his elder brother to become the Syrian president. And this guy was extremely close to somebody by the name of Mansour al-Kassar, a Syrian drug dealer, weapons dealer, very close to the Americans, very close to the British. Al-Kassar was very close, aligned to, remember Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North? Well, they were buddies. You're not going to see Washington Post talk about this. I wonder why. And so Oliver North was George H.W. Bush's point man in drug smuggling operation for the Contras in El Salvador in the 1980s. Remember that? And so when you have the influx of 30,000 Syrian troops to Lebanon in the late 80s, it had as much to do with protecting the opium fields as with separating the warring factions. And at the time, it was estimated that up to $2 billion in protection money was paid annually by dope plantation operations to Syrian occupation forces. And in this sense, again, Turkey via drug trafficking is also closely linked to Kurdistan, to Syria, and obviously to the United States. And so since the 1980s, again, this isn't new, this is really old, the CIA had a secret deal in place to protect the Syrian drug pipeline. Because again, drugs are a lubricant of the global economy. And this was done again vis-a-vis promises that the Syrians, led at the time by al-Qassar, would help to get American hostages released from captivity in Lebanon back in the 1980s. And so one agreement involved what's called the CIA-1 operation, because again, in return, the agency protected the Syrian Becca drug flow from Lebanon through the airports in Frankfurt, Germany, and also from there into the United States. So all of you who are thinking that the DEA, the CIA, they're fighting drugs, no, they're not. Drug Enforcement Agency. Think about the meaning of the acronym Drug Enforcement Agency. They're not there to get rid of the bad guys. They're there to make sure that the little guys don't interfere in the big operations. It's a lubricant of global economy, which means the big guys protect it. Where does the money go? That's one of the things that people don't seem to understand a lot. Alex talked about this quite a bit. So imagine this. You're a Taliban, okay, dressed in slippers. You have a towel on your head. You have a bed sheet for clothes. Okay, you have a bag of cocaine or whatever it is that you have. What do you do with that? How do you turn that into money? How do you turn that money into guns? What are you going to do? Buried under a tree? You're going to have a tree of drugs growing? No. That money needs to be laundered. You need the distribution. And you need to launder the profits through where you're going to launder it through. A bank in Afghanistan? No, you're going to do it through Wall Street. You're going to do it through the world's biggest banks, which are based where? In Switzerland, in England, in the United States. And so the agency is talking about the CIA. The financial share of the covert operations was run through initially BCCI's Black Network, which is a secret kind of a banking institution within the bank itself. And if you look at the numbers, if you look at the history of BCCI, it's telling that the CIA, the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, the NSC, the National Security Council, they all used BCCI as their own private bank, sending billions of dollars in covert funding and weapons to organizations and countries with which the United States for years was engaged in endless conflict. Most notably, we're talking about the Mujahideen. Remember those in Afghanistan? Which over time evolved into Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, Pakistan's EC, Saddam Hussein in Iraq, the government of Iran. So those of you who think that, you know, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys. Divide, divide, divide everything in two. That's what they do on purpose. They make you divide in two and make you choose sides. It doesn't work like that in the real world. So this Black Network was a kind of a natural outgrowth of BCCI's dubious, and I guess you could call it criminal associations. Because its original purpose was to do what? To pay bribes, intimidate authorities, quash investigations. But then sometime in the early 1980s, the Black Network began running its own drugs, weapons, currency deals. Who was doing it in the United States? Poppy Bush. He was in charge of the operation. And so today, the fabulous, I guess that's the best way to describe it, spoils of the drug trade are one of the main unspoken reasons for the conflict we're seeing right now in Syria and other parts of the Middle East. Because whoever holds the fertile Bekaa Valley holds the ticket to power. And in fact, the entry of groups like, for example, Hezbollah into the narcotics trafficking business is, again, is largely a factor of border insecurity. And let's not forget Africa, which has become a particularly lucrative means of terrorist financing through drugs. You could talk about ISIS, you could talk about Boko Haram, you could talk about Al-Qaeda. Hundreds of millions, many hundreds of millions of dollars of drug money. They go into the coffers of world's most dangerous, bloodthirsty terror organizations. You're going to tell me that the CIA doesn't know anything about this, that the State Department is unaware of that? Of course they are. But what we're seeing right now globally is reorganization of the drug routes. But again, that's a story for another day. I want to go back to Venezuela momentarily. We only have about 2.5 minutes left. I think what a lot of people, again, don't understand is that Venezuelan government and the United States government work together. I know it's not something that the Venezuelans who are against Maduro government want to hear, but this is the case. Because if you're the United States government, there's a lot of people talking, we need to invade Venezuela, we need to bring democracy back. These people insane. Why would they do that? When you have a president like Nicolas Maduro, and you want to take over a country, the best way to do this, and let this guy destroy absolutely everything. Venezuela is an amazing country. It is so beautiful, so wealthy, so rich in natural resources. Why invade? Let this guy destroy the entire country. Just walk in and take everything over for pennies. Nothing is eternal. So they're not going to invade. Ever, now or ever, because that's the best way. How are you going to take over a country? If you invade, you're going to have the entire country rise up against the invader for the most part. You're going to have sabotage, you have terror cells, you're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. It's going to be expensive. The United States was already involved in half of the global conflicts. Why would you do that? Let them destroy themselves and they come in and just buy everything for pennies. The country has already been destroyed. Again, as I said before, between 1998, they're talking about American imperialism, talking about blockade. Venezuela sold $2 trillion, think about that amount of money, in oil between 1998 and today. And to that we can add, Venezuela has 15 of the 17 most important minerals in the world. And if you add everything else, we're talking about maybe $5, $6, $7, $8 trillion worth of wealth. Where is the money? It's in the offshore accounts. It's in Switzerland, it's in the United States, it's in England. It's all over the place. Do they know where the money is? Of course they do. So don't expect an invasion, but do understand how things work. Before we go, we have about 20 seconds left. I want you guys to know, we also need help. Join our free channel. This is my channel, Daniel Eschelin Official on YouTube. Okay, Daniel Eschelin Official. I have amazing videos. I'll explain to you how things work from a very different conceptual perspective. Daniel Eschelin, Official.
Obviously, silver is doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that. Right, so they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce, right? So this is why
they've
central
got so
banks
many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now, you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Yeah.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.